104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. About a half hour away from Take 3, so that should be fun. We're always happy when we get to spend a little bonus time with our guy from CBSSports.com, Dennis Dodd. Dennis, what's happening this morning?
Hi, glad to be back, guys. The crew is back together. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing fine, doing fine. We're going to ask you about LSU and the athletic director move that was made yesterday. How much did the cloud around the basketball program lead to Joe Oliva transitioning to a new role, as it was described there yesterday?
Yeah, it was that. It was the way he handled Les Miles over the years. It was the fact that he kind of bumbled the Jimbo Fisher search two consecutive Novembers without actually getting an assurance that Jimbo Fisher would come. And then hanging Les Miles out to dry as he was sitting there coaching, trying to win a championship. It was all those things. There's a faction at LSU that believed that Will Wade shouldn't have even been suspended. And that was backlash against Joe Oliva. Now, you know, you or I, if we refused to speak to our superiors in an investigation, it would be fired on the spot. But it looks like for all the world that, you know, Will Wade is now the senior athletic official at LSU right now.
How long do you think it had been in the works for Scott Woodward to return there as athletic director, you know, at least according to the reports? And what was it about his situation at Texas A&M that makes this attractive for him?
Well, the fact that was happening so fast and that he looks like his name is tied to this and it's going to happen, it had to be in the works for a while, I would say a period of weeks, because this isn't something you just spring on a guy and say, hey, you want to leave your cushy job at Texas A&M and come back home. He's already made that decision, it looks like. No, Scott Woodward is from that area. He loves LSU. He described to me fondly, getting a friendship with Jimbo Fisher in 2005, I guess, when he was around with Nick. And Jimbo would just want him to come in and watch film with him, you know, no agenda. And they developed a relationship, and obviously Jimbo's at Texas A&M now. And I think the next question is how long is Jimbo Fisher for Texas A&M? I found out this morning that he doesn't have a buyout in that $75 million contract. And I think he's happy for now, but if they start messing with him, as they inevitably do at Texas A&M and their coaches, I wonder how long it is before he ends up at LSU.
Our guest is Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com.
Dennis, I wanted to ask you about the story you wrote about the NCAA wanting to get rid of grad transfers. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, it's not getting rid of grad transfers. It's slowing down, I guess, the flow of grad transfers for really hypocritical reasons. The proposed legislation, which will be voted on either today or tomorrow, states that you have to commit 2 years of a scholarship if you're a grad transfer, if you're a school getting a grad transfer, unless the player graduates, gets that grad degree in 1 year. Well, that's really unreasonable. I talked to an official at Iowa State who said, yeah, we have 1 year graduate program, but they go from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day for a year. That's how you get it. So it's a little bit hypocritical when the NCAA doesn't mandate you even get an undergraduate degree. But to be eligible, you have to get a graduate degree. Look, they made legislation in 2006, which I thought was good legislation, that these kids with eligibility remaining could go to graduate school and use their last 1 or 2 years of eligibility. It turned out to be a bit of free agency. It didn't bring the whole system down. I know coaches are upset, but that's on the NCAA. They can't put the genie back in the bottle, and I suspect if this passes, and I don't think it will, what I wrote, you could see some lawsuits around here. Look, you can sue anybody for anything. We know that. This is an established rule, so I think we could see that. Long story short, no, I don't think it's going to pass because I don't think this rule was thought out very well, and I think it will stay like it is.
How amused are you at the, you know, just some of the angry reactions to the transfer portal? With some of these coaches, whether it's Mike Gundy, you know, talking about the youth of today, and it's a liberal conspiracy, you know, to some of the other coaches. And Dennis, you know, these guys hate to lose control, and now all of a sudden, the players have a little more control over their futures.
Yeah, I keep telling people it's all about a little thing, a very trivial thing called roster management. These coaches want to know who's coming back, and they're not very comfortable when they don't know. I think that transfer working group is the very least you could do. It's a transfer portal. The players still have to sit out when they transfer as undergraduates. All they're doing is they don't have to get permission from a coach or a school when they leave. And they put their names in there. That's fine. The school still retains some sort of control, because if they try to come back, the school can say, nope, we don't have a scholarship for you. You know, so there's that. And it's just over the years that the control that the coaches have had over these guys hasn't been fair. Bill Snyder, a couple of years ago, he was a backup receiver. Corey Sutton was his name. He blocked him from 35 schools. That's like, what is that? That's a third of FBS, just because he could. Brian Kelly did the same thing with a player at Notre Dame. Nick Saban blocked a backup center from going to the Citadel, from every school in the SEC and the Citadel. What's that about? this stops that malarkey with these players and lets them transfer. Just like, oh, by the way, the regular student can transfer whenever they want, except the regular student doesn't have to sit out for some silly year in residence requirement. But nobody can really tell me why that's in place. So coaches want to call it free agency, fine, but get over it.
Dennis Dodd is our guest from CBSSports.com.
Well, Dennis, I'm seeing that there's a clause here, at least that's what Barry Alvarez says, that the college football playoff has a window in their contract to make changes to 8 teams a year from now. Give me more. Give me details on this.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've always said that. I think, and I wrote this at the time the playoff came in, I think that 6-year look-in is for changes to participants in the playoff. In other words, the bowl games themselves that are going to be in. I don't think that's going to change. If there's a look in there for 18, that's something I don't know about. I don't think it's going to happen. I've said ever since late last year, any story started springing up, that there's absolutely no, momentum for anyone, but not anyone, but for anyone with power in the college football playoff to go to 8, start with ESPN and say, what is it, $7.2 billion over the course of the contract. So let's see, they want to double what they pay. You know, they're not in the interest of paying more money. I don't think they want it. And by the way, I don't know what you guys think. I think it's worked okay for the most part. There has been this giant controversy like 2004 or whatever it was, when Auburn got left out as an undefeated SEC champion. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of taking care of everybody who should be in.
It's never too early, Dennis, but I'm going to ask you the early, early, early college football playoff predictor.
Oh, God.
Hit a home run right now.
Yeah. Well, Alabama, Clemson for sure. I think you've got to have Ohio State in there, even though they're breaking in a new quarterback. And I'm going to say, you know, either Georgia or the Oklahoma Texas winner in the Big 12. I think Texas is your dark horse this year.
Ah, wow, good stuff.
Dennis, before I let you go, I want to ask you one more, go back to LSU. And you mentioned Will Wade and about this, you know, the suspension and that sort of stuff. Do you think they'd been about the same off if they'd have gone ahead and let Will Wade coach out the season and you know, just kind of deal with the consequences when it was all over with?
Well, I think, look, again, I think when you refuse to talk to your superiors and you're calling a wiretap like that, it's just a suspendable offense and maybe a fireable offense. If you then let him coach, then you're kind of thumbing your nose at the end of the day. You know, we don't know how any of this is going to turn out for the FBI. You know, is LSU's SEC championship going to be vacated? Is their appearance in the NCAA tournament going to be vacated because of this? We don't know. I don't think they did the right thing. Yeah, and I know that the thought process that, hey, we've got a magic season to go here. No one's proven anything. When you had him saying, I made a strong-ass offer to Javonte Smart, well, all you're lacking, this may be the deciding factor in the whole thing, all you're lacking is something written on paper that says he did it, and the amount of money. Now, he's coming back, he's been reinstated for better or worse, we'll see what happens. No, I don't think they should have let him coach.
It is Dodd. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll catch up with you again down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate it, Dennis. From CBSSports.com, always great perspective on college sports, especially college football, and talking about LSU's move with Joe Oliva out, and it looks like Scott Woodward from Texas A&M in as he returns to Baton Rouge.